Well, the other morning, my wife asked me, she said, "Do you know what you were doing 15 years ago today?" I said, "I can't tell you what I was doing last week at this time." She said, "You were preaching your very first message in my dining room, that little stand we use back there to hold things now was my pulpit. I had this tiny little recorder box sitting over here and a microphone. And some of you were there. I had every word I was going to say written out. And I do mean every word. I would spend 6 hours the night before typing out every word. Not that I'm that slow of a typist. It just took me that long to make the message. And in those 15 years, as I've learned to trust God, I have saw him do wonderful things and changing and growing. Not only in myself, but in people around me. People that come. People that grab the word of God. I may say something and you just can't relate for a while. But if you will hold on and grab the message and ask God to reveal, that's the first problem. People want to sit here and they want to get hit in the head with the message and say, "Wow, I got that." That's typically not how it happens. You got to go home. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, everybody in here has a copy of this. And if you don't, we'll give you a copy. And I promise you, the copy we give you, you're going to go to the bookstore and you're going to buy one that you can read. Because when we got back here, it's got tiny, tiny print and it just run on books. But it's the Word of God nonetheless. But if you want to study, you got to get one that you can read, that you can see. And I do highly recommend the Spirit-Filled Life Bible in the New King James Version. Because let's face it, the King James Version is a little hard to follow sometimes with all the these, thous, and thine, and mine, and yours. And it's just confusing to me. It's kind of like reading Old English from 200 years ago. You know, I got up here one day and I was going to read the Declaration of Independence. Anybody ever know what I'm talking? Some of you may understand what I'm talking about, Old English. S's were F's. It established today in Congress. I'm like, you know what? I'm having a hard time trying to read this and adapt everything because the copy I've got is the Old English. And it's like, you know, I'll stop right here. But get in the Word, get in it and study it. Learn, see who God is. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. When you've got some Word in you, stop right then and say, "Now, God, begin showing yourself to me." I want you to tell God this in your own prayer time and your own sincere time. I don't want to know God. I don't want to know you through my pastor. I don't want to know you through my spouse, through my parents, through my wife or my husband. I don't want to know you through them. I want to know you personally. That's how you need to know God. You know why? Because you're all different. We all have different ways of thinking. As soon as I said, "I'm going to tell you about DNA through God, of God through cars," some of you just went, you were gone. But if you look today, just look at cars, you can tell what brand they are most of the time because they carry something through the whole line. God's no different. Why would we think that God would have to say, "Well, you know what, you're going to be absolutely different"? God created livers to be livers. They all serve a function, the same function, whether it's in us, a pig, or a cow. Doesn't matter. God didn't see fit to give us gizzards, but yet he did for chickens. And I thank God he gave them to chickens. They're delicious, deep fried. My southern roots are starting to come out. And some of you are thinking, "Oh my gosh, those are nasty." You got like chewing rubber bands, okay? Yeah, really thick, but they're delicious, especially with a nice big Pepsi. Anyhow, thank God we're eating right after this. But you see, we serve an awesome God, and you need to get to know him. I'm going to kind of take a little bit of a break today from some things that we've been talking about. We've been talking a lot about things that could be happening in the end time, things we may or may not see happen. And but you still need to continue to pray, because this week has been a huge week for the news. And I'm not talking about this scandal, that scandal, this, blame, whatever, the lies that are going around. I'm talking about the fact that Russia has called back, is calling its citizens who are abroad to come back home. That just kind of barely made a blip. Folks, we're focused on the wrong things. There's a big thing rising. Russia didn't call its people back for no reason. And by the way, these were primarily the children of the generals and the military leaders who were studying abroad. So, pray. Pray, 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 pray. But what I want to talk to you today, though, is about something God began showing me just yesterday. It was pretty neat. Yesterday was a beautiful day. And I determined that yesterday, regardless of what it was doing, unless it was thunderstorming, was going to be a day for cutting firewood. We need firewood. I'm not going to continue to pay for fuel oil to heat the house. Firewood is cheap and heats it a lot quicker and better. And so we were out splitting. We've been cutting. And God began stirring in me and showing me some things as we were cutting. And I was just like, Lord, this is too funny. Here I am cutting wood, and you're showing me the message for tomorrow. And then when Angela, she started, I don't know what all she shared before I got in here, but she was telling me some things earlier, and I said, that is so funny on how that's going to tie in with the message today. So as soon as I find my Bible, go ahead and open your Bibles to Matthew. Chapter 15. Go to verse 22. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. Today, vernacular, that would be, send her away. She's driving us nuts. She won't leave us alone. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him and saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Okay, first off, she's a Gentile. Folks, we came out of the Gentiles. Okay? Jesus Christ was initially sent to preach to the sheep, the lost sheep of Israel. Okay? He would later anoint his disciples and the apostles to go out and preach to us. Not all of them liked that thought, Peter being one of them, but God had other plans. He wanted all of us to come to know the mercy of Jesus Christ. Now, you got to understand for something, for starters. He's up by Tyre and Sidon, which is further up in along the coast of the Mediterranean. This is totally Gentile territory. Jews don't occupy that. But he went up there for a reason. I believe this woman was the reason. We don't know who the daughter became. We don't know who the woman's daughter or the woman was. We don't know who she would have played out in further into the ministry. It is so funny when we look and say, well, you know, I just don't know. God didn't. And then you come to find out who that person really was or who that person became. It is phenomenal to see this kind of stuff happen. But so this woman comes up, and Lord, my daughter, she's possessed. It takes somebody to finally understand your child is possessed. And there are some possessed children. There are some possessed people. But not everybody is possessed. I've been in services where, as a kid, they tried to cast demons out of the chairs. Let's slow the road just a little bit. We're getting a little ridiculous here with the possession thing. You foul demon of common cold, come out in Jesus' name. Okay, listen, I don't necessarily believe that every sickness and disease is caused by a demon. Okay? There are things that just show up. Yeah, they were brought about demonically. However, not everything. Most of the time, it's just the demonic people that are creating this garbage in a laboratory somewhere. Saying, hey, now let's see if we can make a cure for it. They wanted to give me my a flu shot the other day when I was at the VA. And I was contemplating it, but I haven't had one since 89 when they gave me the flu with it. And then sent me to the field to get rained on and everything else. So I had to walk around with a fever. But like Angela said, that was last year's flu virus. This new one has changed. It has adapted. And I'm like, yeah, I actually fare better if I just go without it. If you want to take it, go for it. I know several of you have actually go get your flu. There's nothing wrong with it. I just know what it did to me. I got shocked once and didn't stick my fingers back in the light socket. And I'm just fine. And I know, you know what? Some of you are just fine taking it. It's your choice. But this woman, she wanted her daughter to be healed. She's begging Jesus. He just looks at her and doesn't say a thing. Most of us would say, how rude. That arrogant cuss. Look at him. He just looked at her. He didn't say a thing to her. He didn't answer her. Then he looked at her and he said, I've not been called to preach to you. And she came back and she worshiped him. And he looked down and he said, dear woman, don't you know that it is not good to take the bread out of the children's mouth and give it to the dogs? And she said, yes, Lord. But even the little dogs get the scraps that fall under the table. Now, the version of this as recorded in Mark, Jesus looked at her and he said, because of those words, your daughter is healed. Here we record, he said, your faith is great. See, she understood something about being a dog. Today, you call me a dog, or you can call me a dog. Shoot, that was hey, dog, what's up, man? You know, that was a shocker change for me back in 89. I get with all these guys from California and Texas and all these other big areas, and hey, yo, dog, what's up, man? I'm like, you call me devil dog or what here? Because that was lost on us. You know, we watch some of these shows that are supposed to be started in the 80s, and we're like, I don't remember that. I don't remember that until about the mid-90s. But it very well could have been somewhere else. It just hadn't made it to Morrow County yet. But anyhow... She understood something about being the dog. And here's what God began showing me. Yesterday, we're splitting wood. We got a 16-foot trailer stacked up. We've got logs this big around. We are rocking and rolling. We're trying to get this done quick. And Jesse and I and Justin, we got an assembly going on. We just got things rolling. Well, we had a fourth one there, too. Now, this fourth one here, she decided she was going to clean the house. Showed up when there was about six logs left. But she did bring sweet tea, so she is forgiven. The fourth one was Remy, our dog, who loves to chew on wood. And I kid you not, we have seen him carry tree limbs over 4 feet long, and about the size of a softball, in his mouth and carry them around in the yard. He has got a neck like this and a head like this and a mouth that just doesn't, you know how ours stops right here? His doesn't. It just opens up completely because he comes and yawns in my face all the time when I'm stretched out on my chair. He comes over. He's got a tongue that long. That might be a slight exaggeration, but it is huge. But God began to show me something about this passage of Scripture. Even the dogs get the scraps. See, he loves to chew on wood. We can't let him in my workshop unattended. Because he will pick up something off the floor, think it's on the floor, I own it. In the house, it hits the floor, he owns it. I don't eat off the floor anymore. I did. I just pick it up. That's good. Not doing that no more. So that makes life good for him. And if he hears an ice cube fall out, if one, you drop one out of the ice maker, hits the floor, you don't have to pick it up. He loves ice cubes. But God began to show me how we're chunking this firewood up. And we were throwing some of it on the ground so Justin could just throw it on the pile. And Remy, he'd go over there and we'd see him sneak down and said, no. He'd go over and he'd lay down. But then I began noticing. Remy would come over and we had to keep the little pieces and the slivers cleaned out of the bottom of the thing or else they got wedged in and just kept shrinking up the length of our opening. And so we just take and throw them on the ground. Well, Remy finally figured out this. And he'd come over and he'd stand there just looking. Not like he does at the house when we have popcorn. You do that, he comes over and he lays his head on your leg and just stares at you until you finally throw him a piece. And then it's all over. You just got to keep throwing him popcorn. Sometimes we'll just take a handful and throw it to him so we can at least get a couple in ourselves. But this time he'd stand there and he'd just stand there and wait. And I'd take a piece of wood and I'd just throw it down and I started noticing. It didn't matter what he had over here. He'd come and he'd come back and get more. He'd pick up every piece that I threw down. And he'd take it over and he would chew it. And he was just so happy. His tail just a wagon. And he just, at one point he even plays fetch with himself. He throws the wood in the air and he either tries to catch it or else he'll throw it and chase it. It's hilarious to watch. But then he'll go over and he'll lay on it, he'll roll on it, and if we throw another piece down and he sees it, he comes over and he picks that piece up, and he goes back and does it all over again. He is just as excited for this piece as he was for the last piece. Every piece he got, he was thankful for. Which, by the way, he made a huge mess because there were probably 20 or 30 slivers and pieces of wood now out in the yard that have to be picked up before we can mow. But he was grateful for what he was getting. He was excited. And if I intentionally handed him a piece, he was no less grateful. See, maybe we could learn a little something from the dog, being the dog under the table. If we're grateful. See, and let me tell you something, folks. We are no longer the dog under the table. We no longer have a master. Are you following me in this vein here? Jesus, before the night he was betrayed, he said, I no longer call you servants. See, servants have a master. Dogs have a master. People need to understand that dogs require a master by nature. They are pack animals. If you understand your dog, you understand it needs a master, not a best bud. Remy, he just comes and he'll lay over there and if he wants you to pet him, he'll take his nose, stick it under your hand, and flip it in the air until you finally scratch his head. And if you aren't scratching where he wants, he will move his body until you are scratching his backside where he can't get. But we no longer have a master because Jesus said, I no longer call you servants. For servants do not know what their master is up to. I now call you friends. And friends sit at the table. See, we've been moved from under the table, which is where I sat as a child. How many of you guys remember this kind of stuff? Big family get-togethers, but wasn't enough room for everybody to seat. So what happened is the pecking order started. The adults got seats. The kids sat along the wall trying to hold their plate and eat at the same time. And then somewhere along the line that changed, and well, that just killed all the... I was like, man, I finally got to be an adult, got up there and come over to the family get-together, and well, cousins that are 10 years younger than me are sitting at the table. No. I paid my price. You put them on the floor. Can't tell you how many times I ate on the back porch or the front porch steps. It's their turn. They got to pay a price. But you know what? Oh, no, that ain't fair. Fair schmear. It's their butt on the porch or on the floor. You got to get yourself, earn your way back up to the table when you're a kid. But with Jesus Christ, he said, you no longer have a master. You have a friend. We get to sit at the table with Jesus Christ. And here's what the thing is, though. When we've sat at the table sometimes so long, we demand the best seats. We demand the best food. We become demanding instead of grateful like we were when we ate under the table. When you first get saved and you get hold of what Jesus Christ has done, what God has done, you are so grateful, you're so thankful, you're so humble. But over time, what happens is, I've earned this spot. I haven't earned anything at the table of Jesus Christ. I didn't earn it. I'm here by His grace and His grace alone. And God began showing me, He said, just look at how happy He is. He's just getting scraps of wood that you throw Him. And He's just so tickled. That dog, if he can chew on it, he is happy with it. We figured they were about 7 years old, Jesse. Deer legs. Joshua had cut off of a deer. He was going to make something with them. And we held them until they stayed formed. They are 7 years old, and Remy has, you don't want to come to my yard right now. We can't throw them away. He finds them. He chews on them. But he's happy. He is a dog after all. But he is grateful, and he is happy, and he enjoys what he has. When we become lackadaisical, we become you owe me, we're no longer happy and grateful for the things we have, things where God took us from. Many years ago, I watched a documentary show about a family in West Virginia. A family that as I sat and I watched, I saw members of my own family that are still in West Virginia and even around here. I saw their lives playing out in this family. And realized, and some of the stories that my parents have told me, I realized what my parents had taken us out of. And I became grateful that my parents left West Virginia. Because they took us from the potential of living that lifestyle of drugs, sex, alcohol, death, early death, because of all those things. Nobody's thankful, nobody's happy. And at Thanksgiving that year, I'd watched it just a week before, I finally realized I owe them a debt of gratitude. I owed them a debt of gratitude because they had paid a price to leave. All of our family was there, but they left. I'd become entitlement. I'm owed this. That's not saying that everything went probably as it should have, but it could have been a lot worse. It can always get worse, folks. You can sit here and say, how much worse can it get? It can always get worse. People have got twisted minds. When you think they can't get any more twisted, they will show you how twisted they can get. About the time we think that the drill instructors couldn't come up with any more mind games, any more games for us to play, they teach us a new one. And we learn to hate that one just as much. I think, ladies and gentlemen, we need to remember what it was like being the dog under the table. thankful for what we have. We're getting ready to come up upon the Thanksgiving season. And I salute TJ Maxx, Macy's, and all those that are taking a stand saying, we're closed, go home. We got to spend that time with our family. Well, I want the best deals. You know what? I would love to just boycott Christmas. You can ask my wife. I'm dead serious. Wipe it out of our schedules. You want to give a gift to somebody, get them a gift. But the fact that you're going to take time, do you realize somebody in your family could die tomorrow? Somebody you love dearly, closely, but hey, I'm going to go to this sale. All my family's together, but I'm going to go to the sale because I want to save $10. I showed up at Menards one year, 4 o'clock in the morning. I thought, who's going to go to a lumber store? Everybody, every redneck and their brother. The line started up there and ran to the field and started curling back around at 4 in the morning. I'm like, it ain't worth the $20 I was going to save on a shop vac. I went home and got back in bed. It was so nice. I cannot lie. I was like, and I said, I'll never do it again. Never again. Because I just decided, you know what? I'm going to spend the time with my family. That's what I want to spend it with. I don't want to spend it shopping. I got 364 other days in a year I can shop. And at one day, because listen, how many of you see, and I'm looking around here, and I know where some of your families are. They're here and there and everywhere. You really want to waste that one day that you've got together shopping. Think about it for just a minute. I don't. I wish my family would come together, but I got family that won't come in. I'd give anything for them to be there. They don't want to be a part of the family. Breaks my heart. But it's their life. I'm going to be grateful for those that I've got with me. I realize that Thanksgiving, I mean, it's a day we're supposed to stop and give thanks, right? I have to stop and I have to thank God. Listen, folks, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for each and every one of you. I'm thankful for every person who has ever come through that door. And it's not because, let me see, the reason I'm thankful is because it shows me I'm not alone. I'm not alone as a Christian. I'm not alone as a believer who knows that I'm not perfect. Who knows that it's only by the grace of God that I'm still standing here. You know, was it the other day, Angela and I and Vicky, we went down to Columbus to the State House to hear Franklin Graham. We went and we prayed on the State House lawn for our state. We got to spend a little bit of time in a smaller room, and he shared a few things, particularly with Samaritan's Purse and about his dad. But you know what was so great, folks, is to look around and see. Because all we get in the news is negative, right? You aren't going to hear positive. I don't care what channel it is. You aren't getting the positive stuff. But what was so awesome, and I heard that some of the news outlets were reporting there were a couple hundred people there. They failed at math, evidently, because there was a couple hundred people in this little section we were in. Because it was tight, it was hot, and there were thousands of people there. Thousands of Christians who were praying for our country. There were protesters. They were on the other side with their little bullhorns. They didn't last long. I don't know why. We started praying. They disappeared. I don't hate them. It's their right. I don't hate Colin Kaepernick. I just think if he's going to protest something, protest it a different way. something that's more effective. Something that actually brings about change. Don't know. I'm grateful to live in this country. There's no greater country on this planet. And if you think I'm wrong, I'll help buy you a one-way ticket to any country you want to go to. Knock yourself out, because there are none. I've been to a few. Been in countries where I was hated. Not used to that, being here in the United States, coming out of the 80s, you know. White, Christian. We didn't know anything about hate. Go to countries where there's Muslims, where you are the minority, where you stand out, and where they hate you just because you're an American, even though you freed their country. It's a little eye-opening. I love America. And even when I went to Ukraine a few years back, I couldn't wait to get back to the good old U.S. of A. Because in spite of how bad we are, folks, there are still people in those countries whose greatest dream is to come here. We need to be grateful for the country we live in, thankful to God, pray for our country, pray for our leaders, whoever they are. You've been here on War on the Floor, you know we pray for the president. We don't pray evil upon our leaders. It's not what God said to do. He said pray for them. I don't agree with them. I think we just need to fire everybody. By the way, how many of you remember Brewster's Millions? I love that show. I always fantasize. How would I spend $30 million in 30 days with nothing to show for it? Today it wouldn't be as hard as it was back then. But I was reminded, I told Angela, I said, I'm watching this thing. And I said, and then all of a sudden, here is a mayoral election, if you remember the movie, where nobody liked either candidate. And so Brewster decided, we're going to start a campaign, vote for none of the above. However, we can't do that. That will not result in good endings. But I just thought, how prophetic was that? This TV station cannot endorse either candidate. There you have it. It's where we are today. But we do have to make decisions. But we need to pray for whoever becomes our commander in chief. It's not a job to take lightly. We need to pray for the leaders all across this country. I guess early on when I had started, we started this church, I would say I was probably more militant. Yeah, believe it or not, I have slacked up a little bit here. There's things that God's began to show me, even though I learned more about God and what He says and His authority and His leadership through the military. But I also learned, now I need to see the other side. There's more to God than just the Lord of hosts. He's also the God that heals. He loves. He doesn't want anybody to perish on this planet. Not one of us. He doesn't want one Muslim to go to hell. He doesn't want one Buddhist, one agnostic, one atheist. None of them. But you know what we've let happen? We've let people tell us you have to hate them. Listen, we've boiled it down so far, folks, we pick our favorite football teams based on this. You're a Steelers fan, you're a Browns fan, you're a Cowboys fan. Who cares? Who cares who you root for? Root for the team you like. For those of you who root for the Browns, we're praying for you. I couldn't resist that. Pray for them. And those of you that were rooting for the Buckeyes, you did a lot of praying last night. My goodness. I thought I was going to fall off the couch. But we are supposed to be grateful. We're supposed to be loving. That's our mission. That's our goal. You know, one of the greatest things I think this church does is we do give. Some of you haven't been around here a whole real long. I mean, there's a few of us in here who have been here from day one. Where are we close on the account, right? Or the count as far as what we've given away and helped? We're just about $200,000 that we've given away. Now, that may not sound like a whole lot. We aren't a big church. We are not a big church. But yet, we've helped feed homeless, even to the point of we've gone down and fed them with our own hands. We've helped in national disasters, global disasters. We've sent things to our troops overseas. We've sent them phone cards so they could call home. We've done that. And this might sound braggadocious, but I'm bragging on you. I think we've probably given as a body more boxes than anybody in this county. Hands down. Shoe boxes. There's a lot of churches that participate, but they don't see the impact. And I'm going to tell you once again, folks, I've been to Armansk, Ukraine, is where some of those boxes ended up at, in the church that I preached in, to help the poor. They may not look poor. They don't have squat. They live in apartments. The whole apartment might be the size of that square in the corner. That's their apartment for five people to live in. I'm thankful for my house. I don't have to live right on top of all my family. And by the way, that's sometimes two generations in there, going on three. Be thankful for what we have. You've been moved to the table. Please don't become the arrogant type that says, I demand that you serve me truffles. I demand this. I demand that. When we become a demanding people, we become an unthankful people. Because unfortunately, folks, there are preachers, before they travel, they set, I want this kind of car to pick me up. I want this and I want that, and this is the only type of food I'll eat. This is the only type of water I'll drink. I haven't really had that. We do when we have guest ministers in. We find out what they like. But if they ever start making demands, maybe it's the passive aggressive. You just won't hear from me again. That's just all there is to it. I don't want ungrateful people. I want people who are thankful when they wake up and they see the ceiling in their bedroom. Lord, I thank you. I'm alive. Although, as a Christian, your alternative is not all that bad. But as a father and a husband, I'm not ready to go anywhere. I'm going to hang on. Old Billy Graham, I'll end up here. Franklin Graham was talking about his dad. He shared some pretty funny things. Billy tried to give Franklin his house. He has a cabin, a log cabin, in the mountains of North Carolina that he bought early on. And he's got 120 acres. He paid $13 an acre for. He said, I know that sounds like a really good deal. He said, you need to understand, them hillbillies took my daddy. He said, my daddy had made a name by that point. He said, land was going for $8 an acre.
But when Billy Graham wanted to buy ground, oh, that's $13 an acre. But he said, this land is, the whole property is worth a whole lot more than Daddy ever paid for it. And his dad tried to give it to him. He's like, Dad, I don't need it. My children are grown. I'm a grandfather. Franklin Graham is in his 60s, himself, 64, something like that. He says, I'm a grandfather myself. We, all of our, it's just me and my wife. We don't need this big old house. We've got our own house. Our kids have their own houses. And I think they left it to the ministry. I caught, came in on the backside of that one. But Frank or Billy Graham is just trying to give everything he's got away. He doesn't want royalties from his book. He just wrote a book. He doesn't want the royalties. His family's like, Dad, keep the royalty. He gives them away. Okay? He gives it away because he wants it to go to the gospel. And they're like, Daddy, you need to keep this one. I don't understand why I need to keep it. Daddy, you've lived longer than you ever thought you'd live. You're living, you, there's nothing wrong with you right now. You're 98. You need some money to live on because you're going to run out of money. So keep this. You know, but I guess my point being, even though Billy Graham wants to go home, he's still here. He's still encouraging. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of people believe that when Billy Graham goes home, he's one of the he's one of the things to watch. He's one of the moments to watch, and things are going to change. He's one of the last, he probably is the last great preacher that came out of revival that was happening when Israel became a nation. And a lot of people believe that if you watch when Billy Graham does die, you're going to see things change so fast in this world and in this country. I don't know. I can see the point in it. But I'm going to tell you, just be as Billy Graham. Be thankful. Be grateful. Well, you know, I hate my job. Well, you got a job. Be grateful you got a job. Well, I don't like my health insurance. Well, thank God you've got health insurance. Well, I don't like my retirement plan. Well, be grateful you got a retirement plan. I had one and the company said, bye-bye. I get $9 a month when I retire at 75. What's that? Yeah, it'd be enough to buy a lollipop by that point. Be grateful. Be grateful for those you've got around you. Be grateful for the day. Be grateful for your brothers and sisters in here. Pray for them. They all go through stuff. I know a little bit about what everybody in here is going through. You need to be praying for your brothers and sisters. They need you. They may show up with a smile on their face, but that's because they painted it on outside. Life isn't always hunky-dory. And we're not just talking a positive mental attitude. Positive mental attitude isn't faith. It doesn't get you anywhere. This woman who came to Jesus, realizing that in Jesus' eyes, she was a dog. She wouldn't back off. She kept coming to him, Lord, Lord, Lord. And she knew that he could, and she knew that if all the stories she'd heard was right, he was merciful and loving. And that's what moved Jesus. That saying proved it. So don't get to thinking that you're too good. You're too good to get down in the mud. You're too good to help somebody else. Not everybody's called to go out and into the fields. But those that are had better be in the fields. They better be doing what they're called to do when Jesus comes back. All right. We are going to have a celebration today. 15 years. It's pretty wild. In 15 years, we've seen, well, I've lost track on how many marriages in here. People have found their spouse in here. Just lost track. It's good to see that. When we first started, I was the young, well, me and Angela, we were the youngest. 15 years later, I can say I am no longer the youngest. Never thought I would not want to be the youngest. I would like to have the hair back, though. Yeah, I know. It's too late to grow it back. Can thank my grandpa for that. I can actually thank both grandpas. One had a lot of hair, the other one didn't. So I got a mix. We've sent people out. They've moved away. We know some that God has definitely called to go and minister elsewhere. We've fed countless people. Helped our nation's troops. Encouraged and prayed for them. Prayed for the people of this community. People may say, well, Pastor, what are we doing? And I'm going to tell you that. Somebody brought that question to me one time. And I went to God and said, God, what am I doing? We don't have programs. I don't believe in programs. I'll tell you right now, I don't believe in them. Programs are just something to keep you busy. Anybody need something else to be busy? When we do something, we do it. We don't always carry it on. We go in, we do it. When it's done, it's done. That's all there is to it. But I asked God, I wanted to ask God, what are we doing? What have we done for this community? And God began to show me things we have done. Things that everybody says, well, that's not doing anything for this community. Do you know what we've prayed out of this place? Do you know what we've stood against? We're one of the few churches that believes in this kind of stuff. We had a witch decided she was going to move two doors down. Full-blown witch. She didn't last 2 weeks. As soon as I found out she'd moved in there, we didn't pray against her. We prayed against the witchcraft. And we prayed that she would find the saving grace of Jesus Christ. She did not want the saving grace of Jesus Christ. She left. Not going to put up with it. We've kept so much out of here. The fact that we are still together, you need to understand churches that are non-denominational in this community have had a world of a time staying together. Not one split. Been a few people I thought about escorting to the door. Not everybody comes in as a sheep. Some of them are nasty, stinking goats that I'm not even going to justify milking. That's a whole other message by Pastor Barclay. Some of them are wolves. We've had several of those. Predators that come in to prey. We've had people with broken hearts. Jesus said, I've come to mend a broken heart. And he's not talking about your love life. When you are truly brokenhearted, you want to kill yourself. There's no hope. We've seen preachers come and go in this community. Yet here we are, together. And it's not just a battle cry. We are family. When I say you're my brother, you're my sister, I'll fight for you as if we shared the same parents. And there's been a couple occasions I meant that physically and showed up to do it. God has since checked me on that. He said, that may not be the legacy you want to leave. There's a machine gun preacher. He got tired of people raiding orphanages in Africa and nobody doing a thing about it. He was there on a mission. He got hold of some weapons and he went back and he took the kids back. He said, you ever show up again, we will kill every one of you. And they've had more skirmishes because they keep trying it and he keeps killing them and keeps preaching Jesus. I can't say that he's right or wrong. He's defending the children and nobody else would. You know why the United States won't? They got no oil. They got no money. They got nothing. I know you thought, I can't believe you believe that. I was in the stinking government. I worked as a government employee. If you didn't have any worth, if you weren't a strategic value to us, we walked away. Ask anybody in a war. Why did we fight for that hill? We got how many men killed just to walk away because it was a strategic point. That was it. That's some of the things I think the United States has to repent of. The leadership in the United States has got to repent of this. One of the things they're going to repent of is turning their back on Israel. But we've helped Israel. We have sent things to Israel to help believers there. God is a good God. So I can honestly say that in 15 years, I'm just as excited to stand up here and preach, excited to do whatever God tells me to do. We've done things. We had a spring break Bible boot camp. Some of you were here. You remember that. It was okay. Most of us realized after it was done that it was a one-time deal. But it served its purpose. Because I need to tell you, some of those parents still talk to me today. They aren't serving God yet. But it's only too late when, well, if he comes back or they're pushing up daisies. Till then, God has put us in their lives. He's done the same thing with every last one of you. We've seen some of you go through heartache that those around you had no idea. And we saw God reach down and hold you through it. And if I can tell you anything, folks, don't ever think you're alone. First off, if you haven't told me what you're going through, don't blame me. I'm not psychic. I don't have a gift of prophecy. Ooh, this is happening in your life. Sometimes when I know something, it's because I read something. I heard something. Sometimes I can do something. Sometimes I can give you advice. And other times I can just say, let's pray. And you know what? The greatest thing we can do is pray. So again, we're going to have a wonderful time of fellowship over there. These guys, there's some deviled eggs over there. There's a four or five of us that volunteered to taste them to make sure that they haven't gone bad in the last hour. Rest of you, well, we'll leave you one or two. This is a time of fellowship today, folks. I'm not going to minister to you over there, so not doing it. It's a fellowship. Ministry is in here right now. I pray for you. And I'm going to tell you, God has not given me anything for anybody. I just want you to understand the camaraderie needs to be built sometimes too. Just as we were down there with all those other believers on the state house lawn praying for our country, praying for our state, it was good to know we're not alone. And when we get to thinking, well, there's just a few of us, just remember, one, not everybody's here today. Two, this isn't the only part of the body of Christ. This is just this local assembly. There are other believers. And it's a great thing when God's people pray. If we can get them honestly to pray instead of getting together to pray so we can have a ceremony and 10 words of affirmation and this and that. I don't participate in those. You want to organize something? Go ahead, organize it. You want to get together and pray? Let's pray. We don't need a high school band to come up and play How Great Is Our God. We don't need 10 poems on how good God is. I'll end with this, because it just hit me what my thinking is. I had my cousin's ex-husband's, he was an army captain, and he told me when we first met, he said, one of the big differences I see between the Marines and the Army is the Army likes to do all kinds of planning and maneuvers and strategy around it. He said, the Marines, they just like to blow the thing up and go through it. Got a problem? We'll blow it up. I like to just blow it up and go right through. I don't care about getting around. They just wipe it out. Wipe out your problem. And then let's stay. Let's stand. Because I got excited about that, doggone it. If not for anything, that's what God did for me in 4 years in the Marine Corps. Quit playing around it. Just blow it up. We'll just blow it up with prayer. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Lord God, we thank you and we praise you that you're more than enough. You are awesome, and you love us. Lord, I thank you and praise you for the grace that you've extended to us. And you've brought us from under the table and sat us as guests. Not just guests, Lord, but friends. Father, help us not to become demanding. Help us to remain humble. And that if somebody needs that seat, then we will move and let them sit next to you, knowing that you do not love us any less. That whether we're seated right next to you or we're seated at the end of the other end of the table, you love us the same. And now, Father, I thank you and I praise you for what you've done in the last 15 years through this body, through each and every person, Lord God, for those that have been sent out, those who have moved on, moved away, Lord God, for the lives that have been changed. Father, for I can think of several who would not even be here had it not been for you. So, Lord, I thank you and praise you for all those things you've done. We thank you for the many things that's going to happen, lives that will continue to be changed through the youth, through outreaches that we do wherever, Lord God. And now, Father, I thank you and praise you for each and every person in here today. Father, every person who calls this place their home. I know we have several who are away this weekend. Lord, we pray that you bless their time. Cause it to be a joyful and relaxing time. Lord, we thank you for the food we're about to eat and for this fellowship. Lord, I bless it. I thank you and praise you, Lord, for each and every person who will be here, Lord, and we bless the hands that prepared this food for us today, Lord. We are truly grateful to eat it and to share of the fellowship of one another. In Jesus' name, amen.